Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Figgy, let's hit him big time.
You're inside the world's biggest pregame show. 100 hours of Texans-Chiefs coverage. Here's In the Loop with Landry and Lopez. Houston, let's get in the loop.
The question is, how do the people feel about this? 713-572-4610. Shout out to all the loopholes. If you listen, you are a loophole.
With John Lopez and Landry Locker, you're in the loop on Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
2 days till game day, 57 hours, 20 minutes. Texans have said a couple things that catch one's attention. John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you. Bill O'Brien said yesterday that this team has a lot of work to do before the game.
Uh-oh.
If that is the case,
uh-oh,
I don't know how I feel about the chances of the Houston Texans at avenging that heartbreaking loss in Kansas City at the start of the year.
Yeah, you can,
hopefully, most of the work is done.
Let me hold the music.
Because you will
that's
be...
Right, got a shock there.
Getting on a plane tomorrow. Please tell me Bill O'Brien's kidding.
He's not kidding. He's just being coy, if you will.
I mean,
yeah, there you go. He's being coy. Unless he woke up yesterday and said, that's this week? That game's this week? Man, we got a long way to go and a short time to get there. Nah, he's just being coy, man. You know how he is. Rookies don't know anything. You know, he always talks in extremes like that. They're going to be ready. They're going to be ready as they can be.
Eric Bieniemy, the offensive coordinator in Kansas City, expected to be a hot coaching commodity after the season. He was asked about Bill O'Brien's comments that they got a lot of work to do, and Eric Bieniemy responded to good old B.O.B.'s claim that there's still a lot of work to do. 57 hours and 20 minutes away from the game in Kansas City.
How did he respond?
Sounds like me taking a damn test. Damn it, B.O.B. Here's Eric Bieniemy.
Texans coach Bill O'Brien said while speaking to the Houston media that his team still has a long way to go as far as getting prepared to play on Thursday. I'm just wondering how much you believe in what he said. Curious is if you could give a percentage of how close you guys are to being ready for Thursday.
Well, I know what Coach O'Brien said, okay? And I'll say this. Just being on the team that lost in the playoff game to a team from the previous year, they're going to be fired up. So regardless of what he says, I know that team is going to be fired up and excited about coming in here on a Thursday night, prepared to come in and put it on us. The thing that we just got to do is make sure our intensity, also that we're mentally and physically prepared to go out and do the things that we prepared ourselves to do. So regardless, all the coaching speak don't mean anything. When that whistle kicks off, you know what I mean? It's time to go to work. Everybody wanted all the extra time to prepare to get to this point. But you know what? We're a couple of days away. Doesn't matter. Those guys are going to be ready to play regardless.
See, Eric Bieniemy knows what it's all about, and he knows how coaches talk. Well, we're not ready. We got a long way to go, blah, blah, blah. A lot of times when a coach says that, they're talking to their own team, not necessarily being sincere to us. They're just reminding their own team, guys, we still got a lot to do between now and kickoff. And so I'm going to give B.O.B. a little bit of a break there, but Bieniemy understands, no, they're going to be ready.
They better be ready because there's a lot of uncertainty here when it comes to the Houston Texans, specifically that offense. But to me, my attention is on the defense. And I know offense is more exciting to talk about. Offense is something that we pay more attention to. A lot of people prefer that side of the offensive. Like, that's the way that they want to talk about offense.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
the defense, to me, is what I'm worried about with the Texans. I could see this offense going out there and looking pretty good. I could see
sure.
the investments to offense being validated. But the defense, to me, is what I look at and I say, man, I am very concerned about this Texans defense heading into this matchup. Like, very concerned.
Yeah, I mean, like, let's go across the board here, all right? When you start looking at this defense, you actually have a bunch more new starters than you thought you would have. Up front, especially, Charles Omenihu is going to start. That's a new role for him. Now, he's played. Brandon Dunn in for DJ Reader. That's a kind of a new look there. Who knows, where else in the secondary, who was it that was had the quad yesterday from the secondary?
Gerrion Conley.
Yeah, Gerrion Conley. There are going to be a lot of new looks there on the defense, and the production last year wasn't exactly elite level.
No, it wasn't a good defense at all. Yeah. And it's hard to imagine this defense being much better. Conley, by the way, going to miss the first 3 weeks. He's going to start out on IR, had the ankle surgery in the offseason, practiced a little bit, and now he's going to be out the first few games. So you're even more thin in the secondary. On the other side of things, in the Chiefs secondary, the Honey Badger, familiar face, is one of the leaders of their team. And apparently they got a new motto heading into 2020. Their motto is iron sharpens iron. Here's mm-hmm. the Honey Badger explaining what exactly that means.
Actually, it's kind of been a mantra of Spags since last season. So, we've always heard this quote from him, even going back to our first day last season. And we believe it. We believe that, each man is important in our room. And the only way to get better is to challenge each other. It's to expect the best from each other. So at each position, at each level, we have the opportunity or the ability to challenge each other and try our best to really make each other better.
And he explained it pretty well there. That's an old saying. It's not unique to Spagnuolo.
They didn't admit it. They didn't invent it.
They did not invent it. But basically, it means what I've often said to you. I want that, especially in practice. That highest level of competition makes you better. It puts you on the edge. So that's exactly what he's talking about, and they got it there. I mean, he was talking also about one play on practice. He's looking at Kelsey. Next play, he's looking at Tyreek Hill. Next play, he's looking at the rookie Edwards-Helaire. So yeah, they're able to put that kind of pressure on each other offensively and defensively.
You were a little concerned yesterday with something Bill O'Brien said and something Tim Kelly has said in the off season. Here was Bill O'Brien asked yesterday about how weird it's going to be for him on Thursday not calling plays for the first time as head coach of the Texans. Now, we know he took a brief vacation with George Godsey, but he took the play calling back. Mm-hmm. Here's Bill O'Brien talking about how unique that is or isn't going to be on Thursday.
I'll be involved. I mean, I think that John, I understand the question, and I think that's type of stuff. I don't see that as that big of a deal. I mean, I'm still involved, and I'm not going to sit there like a church mouse, during a game. So I'll be involved in all three phases relative to what's being called. So I don't really see that as a huge deal.
I see it as a bigger deal, not a huge deal. I see it as a bigger deal than I thought it would be. And when I heard this yesterday, I kind of did the old double take to you like a cartoon. What? Play that back? What happened? Because I went back to when we found out that Tim Kelly was going to be the primary play caller, the exclusive play caller, some of us thought. It was during the combine, right? It was during the NFL Combine when
yeah, we were at our crawfish thing.
Yeah, and Bill O'Brien announced that he was giving up play calling to Tim Kelly. And hallelujah and amen. You know, everybody, you know, it's something different. For me, speaking for myself, I was thrilled. And now I'm starting to wonder, because Tim Kelly has since said he found out about being the play caller the same way you and I did when Bill O'Brien announced it at the Combine. That's not how I would, if I were Bill O'Brien, if I were the head coach of an NFL team, how I would tell my offensive coordinator and my play caller, you're the man, I'm going to be mostly hands-off. Nobody expects Bill O'Brien to be completely hands-off. But to listen to that quote, to listen to that, what he just said right there, what Figgy just played, it sounds like he's going to be more involved than we thought. Like he's going to have Kelly's ear on most every snap.
Please, no.
You want to play that again, Figgy? Because when I heard that, I literally did the double take, the cartoon Looney Tunes double take, because I'm like, I thought he was going to be mostly hands-off. And, yeah, if there's a third and one, he's going to tell Kelly, hey, I want to run the ball or I want to pass the ball or whatever. But this sounds like a guy that's going to be collaborative.
I'll be involved. I mean, I think John, I understand the question. And, you know, I think that's type of stuff. You know, I don't see that as that big of a deal. I mean, I'm still involved, and I'm not going to sit there like a church mouse, you know, during a game. So I'll be involved in all three phases relative to what's being called. So I don't really see that as, you know, a huge deal.
If that's not a big deal, that's a problem.
Yeah.
Because a new guy calling the offense should be a big deal. That a lot should change. It shouldn't be mm-hmm. not much is going to change. A lot should change if that is the case. So if Bill O'Brien is still going to be doing the same stuff and the offense is going to have the same philosophy and we're going to have Bill O'Brien in the ear of Deshaun Watson more so than Tim Kelly, that is a big deal.
Yeah.
And if the change is going to be made right the right way, that should be a big deal. That should be a massive, massive, massive adjustment for Bill O'Brien. So I'm hoping this is tongue-in-cheek. I'm hoping that we don't see 3 yards in a cloud of dust offense on Thursday, because I don't think it's in the best interest of the Texans. And that's not the change that you've been starving for, that Clint Sterner's
been starving for,
that everybody's been starving for.
It's like, you know, in regular life, you know, I love to do this. You know, I am naming you, one of our loopholes, let's say, all right, one of our listeners. You are project manager for this big project that we have at our office. Great. Thank you for entrusting me. I'm going to take this project, and I'm going to kick ass. Well, but I'm going to be there every day. I'm going to tell you how I want the project to be done. I'm going to tell you all the ins and outs of that project, some of the equipment you should be using, how you should be using that equipment, et cetera, et cetera. No, man, I'm either the project manager or I'm not. So we'll find out. This has all of a sudden become to me one of the most intriguing things of Thursday night. You know, let's see in the huddle on the sideline after a series. Let's see him talking. Is he going to be calling in the play? Not Tim Kelly. I mean, this all of a sudden, there's a real twist in the plot here, because, you know, I've been saying all along, I like Tim Kelly as the exclusive play caller because it's different. No offense, B.O.B., you got this team to a very high level. We're talking about getting to the next level. Let's see what he can do and put a new twist on things.
It might not be comfortable for Bill O'Brien, but it's 100% necessary. And it damn sure, if it's going to be done the right way, better be a big deal. We are about 57 hours away from kickoff. It is the world's biggest pregame show. If you were listening to Payne and Pendergast this morning at 7:45, you got the cue to call to get a Whitney Merciless signed helmet. We're going to give that away between 12:45 and 1, so keep it locked right here on the world's biggest pregame show. Dick Vermeil, he's going to grade Deshaun Watson's crying at 11:30. I think that's the first question I'm going to ask him.
No, please not.
That will be the
first
one. We got a lot to get into. Final words from Deshaun, final words from Bill O'Brien, and my gosh, I have fallen in love, and I don't know how to feel about it at 10:40. But coming up, Texans versus Chiefs, Mahomes versus Watson, Volume 3. Is this the beginning of a decade-long rivalry, or is Thursday night as good as it gets? That's next.
Live from Twin Peaks Studios, it's the kickoff countdown. We're less than 57 hours from the Texans taking on the defending Super Bowl champs. Listen to the Texans opener right here on Sports Radio 610.
57 hours in 20 seconds. Who's counting? Texans versus Chiefs, world's biggest pregame show, rolls on. A lot of storylines on Thursday. You obviously have returning to the scene of the crime, 24-0, heartbreaking loss at the hands of the Kansas City Chiefs. You have Mahomes versus Watson, Andy Reid versus Bill O'Brien, Texans offense without DeAndre Hopkins, and you also have the Honey Badger on the other side of things for the Chiefs. 1 year with the Texans, 1 year with the Chiefs, Super Bowl championship in Kansas City. The Honey Badger asked earlier this offseason about the potential rivalry between the two teams we're going to see in 57 hours. Here's what the Honey Badger, the former Texans safety, had to say.
Well, yeah, for sure. You know, I spent the season with, you know, Deshaun Watson and, you know, being with Patrick last season. Both of those guys, pretty similar into what they bring. You know, obviously both of them are the franchise guys and both of them are highly competitive. They come in the building with the right spirit, the right attitude. They work the right way. And obviously they have the talent to lead a football club. And I think anytime you have two guys like that in that position in the same conference, you know, it's going to be special, especially once you talk about getting into playoff football and championship football. You know, I wouldn't mind playing against Deshaun Watson in big games. Feel like he's one of those players that brings it out of you. He makes you prepare the right way. And I'm sure Patrick does that as well for a lot of people.
I feel 100% confident that the Kansas City Chiefs are going to be in this situation for a long time. They're going to be a contender for a long time. There's a reason that they were in the AFC Championship 2 years ago when they won the Super Bowl last year. I feel like it's going to be a while with Mahomes, Andy Reid in this for a long time. But how long are the Texans going to be on the Chiefs' radar? Is this just going to be a little brief thing where the Chiefs leave the Texans from behind, or are we going to see the Texans actually get in the mix and be one of those teams that the Chiefs look forward to playing? Because it seems like kind of a crossroads season where if you are going to be on that radar, you have to make the playoffs and you have to be on the radar for the Chiefs. And furthermore, you have to beat them on primetime games. You have to get their attention. Even if they end up having more season success than you, you have to do that. I just don't know that this is the start of a lot of things to come. I'm not confident enough in the Texans. I got to get a little bit of a taste of what this new team's going to look like, what this new direction is going to look like, before I say that the Texans are going to be ready to have year-to-year battles with the Kansas City Chiefs. And that's not because Deshaun's not up for it. It's just because there are so many moving parts that need to be ready to go in order for you to be able to do that year after year. And the Chiefs appear to have them. Texans right now, there's a lot of question marks.
I totally agree. I mean, that's why I feel as if, you know, you talk about windows of opportunity and building yourself for the long haul. We don't know outside of the quarterback position how long this iteration of the Texans is going to be, you know, able to compete at this level. Deshaun Watson is going to be here till he's, 2025, till he's 30 years old, somewhere in there. Are the receivers? Are the running backs? Are the tight ends? The offensive line maybe. But, you know, all the skill people, all the people that help him become, you know, a contender at the highest level, I don't know how long they're going to be here. Whereas in Kansas City, you see the weapons and
they're aligned,
and they're not going anywhere.
It's aligned. Yeah, Kelsey's wrapped up. Tyreek Hill is expected to be there for a while. They just seem to have it aligned. So I don't know that this is really the start of a rivalry. I think the Texans are trying to prove themselves, and they're trying to get in into that same category as the Kansas City Chiefs. So I don't know that this is something that we're going to be watching for a long, long time. But I am intrigued to see it, and I'm intrigued to see Watson versus Mahomes. We'll get into Peter King's predictions in the 11 o'clock hour because they're very interesting. There's some very interesting stuff that Peter King had to say about the Texans, about the Chiefs, and about this matchup. But I do find it extremely – I don't want to say – interesting, but I do find it flattering. I find it weird that John McClain and Peter King are picking against the Kansas City Chiefs this year just because of the numbers and the odds and past history, because I think you can make a case that with COVID-19 and with everything that went on, the teams like the Kansas City Chiefs and like the Baltimore Ravens have more of an advantage this year than they would in the past, because you got to stay home, because you have familiarity, because you didn't have to do all the extra stuff that Super Bowl champions have to do. You got to stay at home. You got to quarantine. You got to work out. You got to relax. You got to unwind. You didn't get burned out. That's what happens to Super Bowl champs a lot. And I think this year is different than other years because of that advantage, because of COVID. I think teams like the Kansas City Chiefs actually have somewhat of an advantage.
I totally agree there as well. And certainly, you know, you'd hate to be a first-year coach in this situation. And you'd kind of also like to be hate to be a first-year coordinator. Not as bad as a head coach, because you're installing all new coaches, all new system, all new approach, all new attitude. So Anthony Weaver and we assume Tim Kelly, although Bill O'Brien didn't exactly indicate that he was giving all the reins to Tim Kelly, as you just heard a little while ago. But, you know, it's going to be a little harder for the offensive coordinators who are taking over as well. I mean, they're installing, I wanted to say, but not as difficult. But they're installing, hopefully, a new look.
You said the new offensive coordinators or just the new coordinators?
New coordinators. My bad. Yeah, I think that could be an issue.
I think there's a lot of stuff that could be an issue. I think the Texans, as far as just this game itself, you could have an advantage. If Tim Kelly truly does have this offense looking like he wants it to look like, the uncertainty that the Texans possess with multiple weapons, not just one guy out of the backfield like Clyde Edwards-Helaire with the Chiefs, but with the multiple weapons that they've never seen line up, Brandon Cooks, Randall Cobb, David Johnson, they haven't seen that. They have no idea what that's going to look like. Yeah. They've been used to DeAndre Hopkins. I think that's an advantage that the Texans are going to have with the uncertainty. But on the other end, and we're going to hear Eric Bieniemy, the offensive coordinator for the Kansas City Chiefs. A lot of people want him to be the next head coach of the Houston Texans. I'm not going to tell you how I feel after hearing him talk. But Eric Bieniemy seems to be very excited about Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And I just don't – I know that – it's hard for rookies to make impact in the NFL. And I know in some organizations, specifically this one, the rookies don't know anything and they're behind. I do not think, based on what we know and how much they thought of this guy, to take him in the first round, despite the fact they could use some defensive help, based on what they've said and based on how easy I think it would be to plug him into what the Kansas City Chiefs are doing and that they're not going to build the offense around him.
Yeah.
I do not think that we are going to see a situation where they just tiptoe, and try to figure out how exactly Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to fit into this offense. I think he's going to be unleashed. Yeah. I think he's going to be a big part of things. And I do think that this is a guy that is going to make a lot of plays on Thursday when he's on the field, because he has so much help around him that it's not like you can key on him. And the stuff that he can do out of the backfield, between the tackles, everything, it is absolutely endless. And you've never, ever, ever, ever seen it before. I can't stress enough how concerned I am about Clyde Edwards-Helaire and what he could end up doing to this Texans defense.
And wait till you hear what Eric Bieniemy had to say, and we'll play that for you soon, about Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I'll go back to 3 years ago yesterday, September 7th, 2017, Kareem Hunt. And this was with Alex Smith as quarterback. Tyreek Hill was there. Not Patrick Mahomes. Not some of the other. Kelsey was there. Kareem Hunt touched the ball 17 times and ran for 148 yards against the New England Patriots. He caught five balls for 98 yards and two touchdowns against the New England Patriots.
And that was with Alex Smith.
He was a rookie.
Yes,
this is what they potentially could do. I'm not trying to be foreboding
no,
here.
Seriously,
I'm just being honest.
You don't use first round picks on guys that you don't plan on unleashing, especially when it's a position of luxury. This is a position of luxury. Like, this isn't something where.
What about
just
the game where he fumbled a couple times early too?
Fumbled the first carry.
Yeah, the first
Kareem
carry.
Hunt fumbled his first carry.
And what did Andy Reid do?
200 plus yards, went right back to him.
Yeah, 148 yards rushing and a touchdown. 98 yards receiving and two touchdowns in his first game. This is my key to the game. Another spoiler alert for Thursday, all right?
Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire is the key to the game, because he's got more around him than Kareem Hunt had. And I think he might even have more skill.
Yes, and it's going to be easier for him to transition. And, oh, by the way, he's facing a defense that has a lot of holes in it. So it'll be interesting. We're going to keep an eye on that. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is the guy to watch. It is the world's biggest pregame show continuing here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. We're going to do something great during the world's biggest pregame show. We're going to help out the kids in literacy. We're going to tell you how you can help at the top of the hour. But coming up, Chiefs chatter. Let's go to Kansas City and let's hear what they got to say. I got to tell you, I do not know how to think about what Eric Bieniemy said. I don't know whether to be scared, excited, intrigued, all of the above. You won't want to miss what the Chiefs offensive coordinator.
You're inside the world's biggest pregame show. 100 hours of Texans Chiefs coverage. Here's In the Loop with Landry and Lopez. We're making the stories from outside the loop matter to you. This is Localize It, presented by Westside Lexus. You're in the loop on Houston's sports leader. Sports Radio 610.
Man.
What did I do?
It's not what you did.
Okay.
It's what the enemy did.
The enemy as in Bieniemy?
As in Bieniemy. Offensive coordinator of the Kansas City Chiefs, Eric Bieniemy. I think I fell in love last night.
I know. I've been telling you.
I think I fell in love last night with the enemy.
I've been telling you, this dude is going to be a head coach next year.
We know that.
He's going to be a head coach.
Where?
Well. Well,
where? I got a feeling there's going to be a lot of people after they hear this that are going to want Eric Bieniemy to be the coach of the Texans. Let's just let the season play out, though, because B.O.B., things are going his way. We'll see if he can get it done. But my gosh, if it ain't B.O.B., I would have no problem with it being the enemy, Bieniemy to be exact. Here is the offensive coordinator for the Kansas City Chiefs. This is just how he starts off his press conference. This is just a little taste of Eric Bieniemy on a game week, starting off his press conference.
All right. Well, we're ready to start when you are.
All right. Good afternoon, everyone. Hope all is well with everybody. We've had a lot taking place this weekend. We're finalizing our roster. Now, after doing that, I thought Veach and his staff did a hell of a job. Working with our coaches, also making the right decisions to help us moving forward. And here we are standing today. Excuse my language. We're a couple of days away from kickoff. Man, that slipped. You have to delete that.
All right. He's fired up.
He's fired
the
hell up.
He's comfortable, too.
And there's a reason he's fired up. Because the majority of the press conference, and I think this is important to make note of, the majority of the press conference centered around a guy who's making his NFL debut on Thursday, Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Mm-hmm.
Here is Eric Bieniemy talking about the rookie running back out of LSU, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and what he expects from a rookie running back on national TV to open the 2020 NFL season.
He's had an opportunity to get out there, work with the ones. Obviously, our training camps are tough. We want to make it tough. Just because of the way we practice with a high volume of reps. We practice at game speed. And on top of that, it's okay if he makes a mistake. But one thing that we do know, the kid has mentally and physically prepared himself for this point. But he does understand that, hey, when those lights turn on, it's time to go. And he'll be ready to go.
It's a little bit unnerving to know that offense with that play caller and Andy Reid signing off and chipping in as well with the play calling, has a weapon like Clyde Edwards-Helaire, first running back taken in the draft, at their disposal all of a sudden.
I think it's a scary proposition.
I really do.
I think of all the players that I'm most scared of, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is one of those guys. That's the finesse part of things.
But real quick, they were really good out of the backfield and in the backfield rushing the ball with just guys. You know, I mean, they kind of did it by committee last year at the running back position.
They did.
And now they got a guy. And that's what kind of makes me sort of rub my chin and go, ruh-roh.
That's the skill position side of things. Let's go in the trenches. Let's make guys like Wade Smith and Seth Payne happy. Let's talk about a matchup within the matchup. Just an old school fight, if you will. J.J. Watt versus Kansas City tackle Mitchell Schwartz. It's one thing for an offensive coordinator to go up there and gush about his quarterback or his running back, but here is one of the marquee matchups that not as many people talk about as the other ones. J.J. Watt.
All-world defensive lineman J.J. Watt.
Versus Mitchell Schwartz. Here's Bienemy.
You know what? It's first of all, we were blessed and fortunate to have this opportunity to watch him play because Schwartz has been doing this for a long time. J.J. has been doing this for a number of years. And just watching those two play, you know, and the sad part is that now when it comes to taking on J.J., he's just going to be the same consistent professional player that he is. He understands how J.J. plays. He's going to be consistent with his pass sets. Hey, you know what? Sometimes he might get J.J. and sometimes J.J. might get him. But that's not going to stop him from being the very best of who he can be.
I love watching these one-on-one matchups, whether it's a corner versus a receiver. Schwartz versus J.J. Watt does not get much better than that. We'll get more into that tomorrow. J.J. Watt's final words before the game. But let's go back to the sexy part of the game. Let's go back to the running back position. Here is Bienemy apologizing, first of all, for his cussing, and then going back to the question about Clyde Edwards-Helaire, because as you mentioned, Kareem Hunt, over 200 total yards, 3 touchdowns in his debut, but he also fumbled on his first carry a couple years ago for the Chiefs. So that's kind of a teaching moment for Eric Bieniemy. Here's Eric Bieniemy talking about Clyde Edwards-Helaire and what he could learn from the last debut that a rookie running back made for the Kansas City Chiefs on Thursday Night Football.
That word you said right at the start, we've heard you say that a few times on the practice field, so don't feel bad.
Adam, you ruined my reputation.
Certainly you remember the first time you gave the ball to Kareem Hunt when he was a rookie.
Yes.
You say anything special to Clyde?
So here's the thing. As a former running back and as a former running back coach, you address the issues of turnovers. We've hit that with our guys. And one thing that we do know in the league, the first game is always the highest number of fumbles or turnovers in the game. So the thing that we focus on is making sure the guys understand, hey, ball security is the utmost importance. But you never, all right, go and talk to a guy and say, hey, you know, on Kareem's first carry, he fumbled the ball. Well, no, that's not the deal. Hey, two hands on it in traffic, high and tight in the open field, on the way down, make sure you're securing it.
He's coaching.
And going down to the ground. At the end of the day, you want to make sure you're handing the ball back to the ref.
Okay.
He's coaching there. High and tight, baby.
High and tight is what he's saying. And the final words from Eric Bieniemy to Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I'm telling you, a lot of people are going to be talking about Mahomes. A lot of people are going to be talking about Tyreek Hill. A lot of people are going to be talking about Travis Kelce. We're going to do that as well. I promise you. But we're less than 57 hours away from this, and we just want you to have Clyde Edwards-Helaire on your radar. We want him to be on your radar. We don't want this to be an after-the-fact thing because this guy is going to be part of the game plan. And here is Eric Bieniemy talking about what he's telling the young man leading up to kickoff Thursday right here on Sports Radio 610.
He's a football player that happens to play the running back position. And the thing that we just want him to do is just focus on being the best of who he can be. Don't need anything more of him. I just need him to go out there and focus one play at a time and understand that, hey, when that play comes and you have an opportunity to be great, just make sure you have mentally and physically prepared yourself for that defining moment on game day.
Okay, there we go. There's the speech. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Kansas City Chiefs. We already know about their offense. This is going to be a new part of things, and it's not just going to be a new part of things Thursday night. This is going to be a big part of their offense moving forward. So just keep an eye on Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I think you can hear right there from Eric Bieniemy, this ain't just to fill it out. This ain't just a committee.
He's throwing him into the fire.
He's throwing him into the fire, and the Texans are going to have to be ready. It's going to be uncertain, though, because the Texans have not seen Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Now, on the other side of things, and in the spirit of fairness, the Chiefs haven't seen the Texans' wide receiver core either. They have not seen Brandon Cooks. They have not seen Randall Cobb, at least in a Texans uniform, and they have not seen David Johnson. Here's the Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu, talking about the dilemma that they're facing.
Yeah, they're still a talented group. I think with or without DeAndre, I think they have the ability to to wreck a football game. You know, still a lot of speed out there. You know, Hop was able to come to the line and kind of tell his receivers if it was cover two, if it was man to man, if it was cover four. So it kind of helped the other receivers play fast. So, but they're still a dominant group. I think it's going to be a tough challenge for us.
Look, that is an advantage that the Texans have. We've mentioned it here and there. You know, there are so many things that the Texans can so many different looks the Texans can offer to the Chiefs defense. And I would suggest, and this isn't like I'm trying to tell them what to do, but one thing that I think would be a positive is giving them a bunch early. You know, whether you go three and out or you go down the field 8 to 10 plays, I would give them all kinds of move guys all over the field just so they have more to scribble about on the sideline, you know, more to look on their iPads on and try to figure out.
Here is Steve Spagnuolo. He is the defensive coordinator. He's the guy that gets the credit for bringing the Honey Badger back to the next level. All pro, Super Bowl champ, leader. Steve Spagnuolo got a little bit of a New York accent to him. Here's him talking about the challenges that the Texans receivers pose to the Chiefs.
We don't really know who the go-to guy is. We kind of knew that last year. Whether that was good or bad, I don't know, because he was pretty good. We're going to have to deal with a bunch of them, and they've got some speed over there. We know what Fuller's like, and Cooks they add to the mix, and I've always felt Randall Cobb was a good football player. And, you know, we don't, without any film to go off of, not really sure where they're headed in terms of what they're going to put out there, but we're going to have to figure it out quick. That's part of the chess game in the first game of the season. Even when you have the preseason games, there's still a lot of things you got to figure out.
You have pasta night on Thursday. I'm going to go ahead and go out on a limb and say he has pasta night more than one day a week.
More than one day a week, I think he has pasta. I'd like to hear him order a sandwich at a deli. I bet you it'd be pretty cool.
It would sound pretty rude. Yeah. You know how New Yorkers order. It's always a little bit rude. Yeah. But he does have his hands tied. I don't know where you start. Like, sometimes when you prepare, you know what you know exactly what you have to do. I got to put in the tape. I got to watch this. Steve Spagnuolo and Anthony Weaver, when it comes to Clyde Edwards-Helaire, they don't know where to prepare. And if you pick the wrong thing to watch, you're setting yourself back. I don't even know where to start when it comes to Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I would assume with you that you put in that Kareem Hunt tape from 2 years ago, but that was before Pat Mahomes, and they've added a lot more elements since then.
A lot more offense.
Yeah, so they've added some stuff. From the Texans' perspective, I don't even know where you start. I don't even think – I think there's a chance this offense goes out there and we don't even recognize it. We don't know what the hell that is. And you're seeing all this speed. You're seeing all that stuff. It's good to prepare, but whenever you're preparing in the wrong place and you're preparing for the wrong thing, it's only going to set you back, and it's actually counterproductive. So of all the people that are having sleepless nights, and I know there's a lot of loopholes. Shout out to the loopholes. If you listen, you are a loophole. That are excited for this game that can't sleep. These defensive coordinators are not getting any sleep, either one of them. And it's going to be interesting. Halftime, I don't want to give me the cliche bell, Figgy. Halftime adjustments are really going to be the most important thing in this game. The game plan,
sideline adjustments,
all that. Yeah, between series. That's going to be the key here, because you really don't know what the hell you're going to see from Kansas City, and they damn sure don't know from the Kansas City side what they're going to see from the Texans offense.
Totally agree. And Spagnuolo got that Boston accent working real strong. He's going to be chirping at those guys. He's going to be chirping.
Is it Boston?
I
thought it was New York. I feel bad.
No, he's a Massachusetts guy. I think he was at UMass when Vandermeer was there.
I thought it was all the same.
I think. I'm going to text Vandy.
They're all the same.
Boston's cooler.
Boston is cooler.
Okay.
I saw
Hot the Cotton Harvest Yard.
Yeah, I saw Twitter just gives you useless information. Quick aside here. The three sexiest accents in the United States. Texas, Boston.
Hell no. There's nothing sexy about a Boston accent. There's nothing sexy
I like
about
it.
That.
I'm
there
telling
ain't,
you.
There ain't nothing sexy
well,
about
ask
that.
The women who participated in this poll.
Ain't nothing sexy
watch the
about
show
that.
Ray Donovan.
Ain't not, I don't give a damn
you like,
what to
you'll
watch.
Like it.
I don't need to watch something on TV to tell me. Boston accents are not sexy. No disrespect.
I'm just giving you the information.
Shout out to my Aunt Barb. I love you. But no, that ain't a
Texas,
sexy accent.
Boston. And you know, can you guess the third one? You'll never guess the third one.
Southern.
Minnesota.
That ain't sexy either. That ain't sexy either.
Well, you're not a woman.
I just don't. I'm a man. I'm a man that love all women.
That's right.
I'm telling you, man, that ain't sexy. The Minnesota, the Boston, no.
You want to be a man? You want to really be a man?
I do.
Do what I just did.
What'd you do?
I just donated to the Barbara Bush Literacy Foundation.
$30?
I'm going to tell you, maybe 30, maybe a little more.
There we go. Well, it's interesting you mentioned that because that is something we're going to be doing during the world's biggest pregame show throughout the week. We're teaming up with the Barbara Bush Houston Literacy Foundation and their My Home Library campaign. Could I interest you in a stat?
Please.
One of four Houston third graders, they do not meet reading standards. And you got to combine that with the fact that 61% of low-income families in H-Town, they don't have books.
There's a reason.
There's no books in the house, and it is directly connected. But we can make a change and make the community a better place here at Sports Radio 610. You can make a difference in changing these statistics. A $30 donation, it provides a child with six books. And not only does it provide them with six books, they get to select the books from a list. So they can add them and begin a home library.
And I wanted to see in the last break, how does this work? How difficult is it? So I texted HTX Reads to 41444. Took me 30 seconds to make my donation.
That's all you got to do. You got to text the number 41444. That's 41444. And just title your text HTX Reads.
And they'll take it from there.
They'll take it from there. $30 gets a kid six books. We're trying to improve literacy. We're trying to make the community better here at Sports Radio 610. We're very excited for the start of the season, but we also want to do our part and help the community. Every station in the cluster is helping out. We look forward to it. Again, that's 41444 texts HTX Reads, and your $30 donation gets a kid six books of their choice. Thank you for making a difference in our community from the Barbara Bush Houston Literacy Foundation and Sports Radio 610. Deshaun Watson versus Mahomes, Volume 3. We're going to hear the final words from your quarterback, who is going to try to stick it to that New York, Boston, whatever the hell he is, Spags. World's biggest pregame show continues next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.